Jesus' disciples. And this is taken from a passage that we have in the last part of the chapter that we have read a while ago. Let me read again this portion so we can look at specifically on the things that we have to consider this afternoon. Verse 36 to 43, Acts chapter 9. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Amen. The Lord add his blessings upon the reading of his most holy and precious word. Before going through this passage, let me bring back to you to the gospel in John, in John's gospel, starting from verse chapter 12, where we see here how the Lord Jesus Christ enters into Jerusalem, and it was the day where he had this, what we call the triumphal entry. That was the start of what we know as the Passion Week, the first day of the Passion Week, Sunday. And many people welcome the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they shouted that Jesus, Hosanna to the King of Israel. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. But later, as we know, in the last part of the week, we see that these people who welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ were the ones who shouted against him, crucify him, crucify him. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ knew that that was the last week of his ministry, he had these wonderful words for us in John chapter 14. This was to comfort the disciples, to let them know that although he was going back to heaven, as he said he will go there, he assured them that his purpose of going was to prepare a place for them, meaning that he would soon go, but then he will return. And that is what we see in the first part of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So we have here God's, the Lord Jesus Christ's clear instruction to the disciples. You have to trust in me. I will go, but I will return. And my going there is not just a kind of holiday. I will not be there to rest. I will not be there to just lay down and do nothing. I will work. And that working is, of course, he says, I will prepare a place for you. But while you will be here on earth, remaining here as my witnesses, he now wanted them to know that he has a greater work for them to accomplish. And this was not for the disciples only at that period of time. This was not just for the apostles. We will know that this is for all of us. This is for all those who claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a work to do. And he said in John chapter 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. That's why we can say, and we know that this is not just for the disciples in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, but it is for those until today who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, whosoever, or he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works. What did Jesus mean when he say greater works? I mean, what was done by the Lord Jesus Christ during his time was already great. And no one can surpass what he has done. All the miracles that he did, nobody, even from the beginning, during the time of Moses, even until today, no one can surpass what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In the way he turned the water into wine, in multiplying the bread and the fish, in raising up Lazarus, in healing the blind and the sick, and all those who are deaf, those who were not those who were paralyzed, they were able to walk. No one can do that even until today. He has done great works. And that work is the greatest of all. Especially when he went up to the cross, he died on the cross, and he raised himself up to resurrect. He said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to raise it up. That power, that work, that miracle is beyond compare. Nobody can do even greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ. But why did the Lord Jesus says greater works? I mean, you have here in the context of chapter 14, verse 12, and that's what we are thankful of in the King James translation, because they were clear to us. You see, the word works here is in italics, and that means this refers to an addition. They added it because that was the context. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to a greater something. Of course, it refers to something that they have to work. But there are other aspects that must be greater than what he has done, that we can see in the life of the apostles, as we see here in the passage of the work of Peter in Acts chapter 9. Now let us turn to Acts chapter 9. We are now clear. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who declares, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Until the time I will come, until the time that I will return, you have to do it. And this is not just a challenge for them. it is a challenge for us. The question that we have to answer this afternoon, are we doing greater works for Him? I think I made mention of what is now a popular thing in some, in most young people. They claim it's in China, but I believe it's all over the world. It was just the CNA who documented this, as they said it's popular in China because probably many young people are doing this. But I observe and I know this, and this has been long also in our own country. The idea of lying flat and let it rot. Lying flat and let it rot. Young people who do not bother to work, they know not the purpose of their lives. They know not the purpose of why they work. They know not the purpose of why they should live. And that's why they just lie down, play with their handphones all day long, and leave everything beside, even not caring what will happen to these things. And there is this one father. He's a Malaysian, and he worked in Beijing for 30 years. But he saw his son doing this. And so he loved his son so much that he resigned his work in Beijing, went back to Ipoh in order to take care of his own son and lead him, guide him, discipline him to the way that he must do something in order to live and to strive hard for the family. Now, he was saying he was proud as a Hakka. He said Hakka emphasized, I don't know, but he said it's emphasized on the young men. They focus on the men, the boys. And that's what he did for his son. He did not want his son to just lie down, lay flat, and let it rot. He wants him to work. He wants him to strive. He wants him to learn. He wants him to grow up to be a responsible person. And if that was the concern of the father over his son, because he doesn't want to see him growing up knowing nothing, even more especially as Christians, we know we have a responsibility. We have a commission. We have a role to do. Jesus says we have greater works to accomplish. And I pray we are mindful of this. We are now in a state of life in this world that we don't mind on the things spiritual. We are busy in the things of the world, but we don't think of what will be that God has commanded us to accomplish. Let us see this passage to challenge us. We have a work to do. And so we have here in verses 36 to 39, this greater works that we can see here is a greater opportunity. It was not a greater work than that of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he gave greater opportunity for disciples to work on, to labor on, to serve the Lord. You'll notice that this account was mentioned to be in Joppa. Joppa is what is known as Jaffa today. It is now part near Tel Aviv, the capital city of Israel. And this place was far. It is around more than 60 kilometers from Jerusalem, northwest of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ focused his ministry in Jerusalem, in Galilee, and other minor parts in Samaria. But here we have disciples scattered in many other places. We have a disciple here in Joppa by the name of Tabitha. And she was a woman. She was one who was known also as Dorcas. By the way, Dorcas here, this is a Greek word that actually was describing him as a gazelle. Gazelle. The small kind of antelope. They are so fast. They ran so fast. They are quick. And that's how they describe Tabitha, because she was so fast, quick, and doing everything that he can do for other people. She was a blessing. In fact, here she was described here as full of good works. What was in her mind and heart was to serve. What she know that the purpose of her life is to spend for others. She was not thinking only of herself. She was not thinking of how she can survive. She was not thinking of who will support me when I will retire or when I will be alone. She was not thinking of anything for her own self. She was thinking for others. She was full of good works and alms deeds. Imagine she was helping others, doing all sewing and preparing and have these garments for other people. Dorcas, gazelle. He was so fast. He was so active. And that's how this woman was so missed by the people when she died. Because it says here that in verse 37 that he died. He was sick and then he died. And the people missed her. And they knew that she was doing good works to them. Coats and garments were made for them. She was not asking payment. She was not asking for any reward. She was not asking for any recognition. What she loved to do is to be good to others in order. And I believe that was the concern of Tabitha, because she wants to let the people know of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. By his name, disciple, that we can understand. You can be good to others. You can help others. You can provide for the food of other people, the needs of others. But here, she was named a disciple. A disciple is one who is a learner of Christ. One who is a follower of Christ. One who is a little Christ. That is actually the description of a disciple. One who follows the steps of Christ. And if therefore he is known as a disciple, though he was doing these good works and alms deeds, she was always quick also to share Jesus to these people. And that's the problem with our social gospel today. Because they thought that this woman was doing social works. Good works and alms deeds, yes, but she was a disciple. Remember, a disciple is one who is a little Christ, one who follows Christ. He cannot keep his mouth from telling other peoples that there is a Savior. There is a greater opportunity for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ was with them, with the apostles, they were just following always the Lord. They were given a chance to go and evangelize. There were 70 people who were given also the chance to go and tell the people of the kingdom of God. But here we have the opportunity of many disciples in any parts of the province of Judea that they work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they labored hard. That's why we can see that when Tabitha or Dorcas passed away, he died, they were affected. They knew that they will miss her because they knew that she impacted their lives because of what she did to them. And this was not just by Tabitha. We know by tradition that the disciples, the apostles, when they spread and were scattered, they went into far-flung places in order to preach and teach God's word. We know of the Apostle Paul. It is familiar to all of us that he went to Asia Minor and then to Europe and then to Rome. We know also of Peter. Peter was here in this place in Joppa, within the province of Judea. But we know also, as believed, that he went into Pontus, Cappadocia, in those places that he mentioned in his first epistle. And then tradition says that he went to Rome. He was executed there with the Apostle Paul. Others also, there were those who went to other places. Now take for example Andrew. He was one of the apostles. He went to Greece. And it was in Greece that he was executed. And that's why in Greece he was executed with an X cross. That's why we have the St. Andrew's cross today. It's an X. And that started in the crucifixion of Andrew, who was crucified in an X, so-called cross. St. Andrew's cross is an X. But he was crucified in Greece, far from Jerusalem. Thomas, I believe many of us here could identify Thomas. We don't have some brethren here from India. This is well known. There's a place there where they have a place called the Church of Thomas, Saint Thomas. Because Thomas moved eastward even to Persia and ended up in India. That's how far he went. Philip was one again of the apostles. He went into Asia Minor, just like what the Apostle Paul did. Matthew. Apostle Matthew went southward. From Jerusalem, he went into the northern part of Africa. And he died there in Ethiopia. Can you imagine how far he has gone? Greater territories than what the Lord Jesus Christ has given them during the time of the 3 year and a half ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about Bartholomew? Bartholomew went towards the northeast and went to Armenia, and he also died there. We know of Simon the Zealot. He also went to Egypt, North Africa, Libya. These were the disciples, apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know John, he went to Ephesus. He became the pastor in Ephesus. When he was exiled in the Isles of Patmos, he was the pastor of Ephesus. These were the places where they went. Greater works, greater places, greater opportunities, greater territories. And now we have experienced that goodness because of their greater works. They walk, and you can imagine how they walk far places. You can imagine how Thomas went to India, where he spent his life there. Today we fly, we take cruise. That's how we go to other places. Very comfortable. In those days, they really have to work hard, but they know they have a greater opportunity that God gave them, and they work on. How about us? Do we see greater opportunities for this church to bring the gospel to other places? When we go for holidays to other places, do we see the need of the people in that place of the gospel? Or we see the beauty of the places? We see the beaches. We see the beautiful trees. We see the beautiful people, the good food. But we don't see the need of the gospel in this place. Do you pray when you go for these places and ask the Lord, what can we do here, Lord? Greater opportunities for disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have here Peter. He was, of course, in Lydda in this time. He had just performed a miracle here in the previous verses. And probably people heard of what Peter did. And that caused them to ask for Peter to go or to come to Joppa. And here in verse 38, he says, "And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, so they asked Peter to come. And when he arrived, now he had that desire to manifest the glory of God through the healing of this woman, Tabitha." So it's not just an opportunity for us for witness territory, some opportunities for us to go to other places and to bring the good news of Christ. Here we have also an opportunity for us for God's glory. And how did Peter show and manifested this glory of God? Now we see here that when Peter went to heal or take the or bring up or raise up Tabitha, we know that he did not show off himself as one who is able to raise him up. It was not like these people today. If you will see in the internet, you can see many of those miracle workers, crusades that they are proud of to have said that they can heal diseases, they can heal sicknesses, they can lay hands and they will just be shaken, and then after that they will be healed. Actually, these people, some of them are paid in Africa. There is one preacher who was well known for so-called healing, but actually was now exposed that he paid these people to just lie and say they were healed in order for people to give money. He's a millionaire, this preacher. So when Peter came, he was careful to show this is not my power. This is not my ability. This is not my own power to heal and raise up this woman. What did Peter do? He says, it's recorded here in verse 40. "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed." Kneeled down and prayed. Peter openly show them, "I am nothing. I cannot do this miracle without God performing this." That's why, looking back into what we have just read earlier in John chapter 14, and let me just emphasize to you this, because it is said in verse 12, "Greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father." But please understand that Jesus says in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Ask in my name. So that when I give, people glorify the Father, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify God. And you will see the difference. Today, when you see all these so-called miracle workers, people are praising them. People are following them. People are taking them like gods, giving them all that they can so that they also will be blessed, because they thought that these people have power. Because that is what they show. They are not giving glory to God. But Peter was careful. He showed to them that I must pray, because whatever the result of this, whatever, if, whether this woman will be raised up or not, it is according to the power of God. It is Jesus Christ who will raise her up. It is Jesus Christ who will do this miracle. And this they did even in the early part of Acts chapter 3. Can you remember when they healed a lame man with John, Peter and John? Remember that when they went to the temple and there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. He was carried and whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. And here we see in verse 3, when Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But Peter said, take note of this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." What things I have? What are these that I have? He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is also true with what he did to Tabitha. He was careful that who will be glorified in this act of miracle was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not pointing to himself as the one who is able, as the one who is powerful. That's why in our prayer meetings, we come and gather together, we pray, so that whatever works that this church will accomplish, any missions work, any missions trip, anything that we do, VBS or church camp, we know it is of the Lord. And I pray that we are not limited to do such things. We are not limited only on doing this church camp and whatever anniversaries that we have. We still desire to send forth laborers, missionaries, or even in our place here to continue on evangelizing, reaching out people, giving out tracts. That's the nature of the work, the greater work that the Lord Jesus Christ has assigned for us. And when we come together in prayer, we pray to God, we ask Him whatever revival, whatever encouragement, whatever desire that we have from our hearts to do this, we know it is from the Lord. It is not by our own instinct. It is not because, oh, I'm a good, a better Christian today, or I am empowered by my own zeal. No, it is of the Lord. Greater glory for God. We have this glory that is set before the Lord Jesus Christ that we must lift up, and we have to put Him up and exalt Him in our lives. That's the greater work that we have to do. That's why our chief end, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Do we glorify Him in our lives? We must pray. We must ask God, Lord, what else can we do? Let us not be content on the things that we have done. Let us not limit on these things as if this is enough. It's okay, we have done this. We have a mission work, we have this VBS, we have this something done, and that's all. That's all because we are a small church. We are just few people working. We have just few hands laboring. We have just few people giving. This is what we can afford. These are the things we can do. That's all. But if we desire to give glory to God, we can pray above that which God has provided for us. Because if we do things just because that is what we can afford, that's because that's the hands that we have here, we still glorify our own selves. But if we do something above that we can ever do, we do things above that we can provide, we do things above that we can ever support or help, that's where we glorify God. Because we see His hand doing within the church or doing in the midst of us. can just easily say, well, because we have done this. We come together, united, laboring together, working together, that's why we have done this. But if we do things apart from even greater works, just like what the missionaries in the past showed to us, how they have given themselves beyond what is expected, beyond what the people can do. They have showed us that indeed He or God is able to help and provide for them. We attempt great things for God and we expect great things from the Lord. That's from a missionary who was prevented by other people. He was told, you don't need to go there. You're not needed. If God elect a people and He have chosen a people, these people will surely come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not needed. Yes, that's true. But Jesus commands us to go and preach the gospel so that these people will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not hear if nobody will preach. They will not hear if nobody will share them a tract. They will not know if nobody will tell them of the truth. Yes, they will come, but they will come through you and me. That's why we need to do this work. We should not keep ourselves contented with what we have done and what we are regularly doing in the church. We have to attempt great things for God and expect greater things from Him. These are opportunities where we glorify God. And I pray the Lord will move our hearts. Because if we continue on to be a stagnant church, we continue on to be a church that will not move on, that will be a sign of falling into a way wherein we will not have any opportunity to glorify the Lord. We will be losing heart in serving God because we are contented that we have already done something for God. We have to move forward. And I thank God that we are working towards our missions work. We are working towards our VBS. We are working towards many of the opportunities, our church camp and others. Let it be more so that the work of God be done in our midst and God's glory will be manifested. We all glorify God, not the honor of the church, not the name of the church. Now here in the last few verses where we see that when Tabitha was raised up, when it was called or raised up by Peter, then Peter called the saints and widows and presented her alive. It's a proof, an evidence of God's work, an evidence of the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that he prayed and he asked the Lord to help him. And when the woman was raised up, he brought her in their midst as if telling them, this is the work of Jesus Christ. I asked him, he healed, or he opened her eyes, he made her alive again. And so we have this in verse 42 and 43. Another greater work that we can do for the Lord, and of course is very much related to what we have mentioned, and greater opportunities and for the glory of God. We have also here greater testimony for the Lord. And in this testimony and witness for God, we continue to reach out for souls. Here we see how many believed. He says here, it was known throughout all Joppa. All. It was not just in that house. It was not just in that village. It was throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord.
many believed in the Lord. Are we not thankful even if there is one who will come to believe in Christ? Are we not rejoicing even if there is one who will come to hear God's word? Are we not thankful even if there is one who will profess that he or she believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here we have many. And we know how Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, and there were 3,000 who got saved. And here, with this miracle, many believe. Before that day, it was recorded also in verse 35. All that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Turned to the Lord. They believed in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. They received the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the desire of every Christian. Because if we realize that our salvation is such a great work of God, a great miracle indeed of God, then we desire also for others to experience that miracle, that great work. And so we see how they were given greater witness, greater testimony through this miracle. And even here, Peter remained for certain days, many days, in that place to continue on ministering to these people. He continued on to witness to them. He continued on to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we desire in life as a Christian, as Christians, as a church, that we do greater works for the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater witness. And this will Christ do in each of our lives as we submit and surrender to Him. Because there are wills, desires, ambitions in life that may bar us from following the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a young Christian, I thought following the Lord would not be beneficial to others. Because I was working, I have my own salary, so I can help and support some Bible school students. We were supporting two Bible school students in the Baptist seminary that our brother Roel is now teaching. We were helping some pastors also, providing for them. Of course, we were active in our own church. I was then in a Baptist church that time. So I was rebelling and trying to show to God, Lord, if you will cause me to leave my work and do and study and serve thee, look at these young people whom we are supporting. They will lose their support. Some of the pastors who come to seek for some help, they will have nothing because I will not have any more support for them. Because you want me to leave the work and serve you and study in the Bible college and serve full time. So that was my argument with God. So rebellious. So, trying to find my way out of God's call. But of course, when the Lord calls, we cannot escape. We cannot run away. We cannot hide. When God calls, the best that we can do is to answer and to follow Him. And so when I followed God, I thought that I would not be able to support any more students. I would not be able to support pastors and churches. But I thank the Lord that through that, through following Him, and obeying Him and surrendering to Him and doing His work, He will cause greater works in our life. Not me. Because I know I cannot support anybody. But through my presence or God's allowing me to be in FEBC, there are many of our countrymen who came to study and be trained in the Far Eastern Bible College. And I thank the Lord for that. And I saw how God is working in their lives. Some of them are already preaching in their own churches. Some have started their own ministries. And I know it is not my own, because at first I did not want to be there. But it was God who allowed me to be in that campus, in FEBC. And through that presence, there are many who came to study. Not that I gave them money, but they were now supported by even other people. And one of the supporting church is Tenga. I'm thankful to the Lord for this church, for how you are supporting the students from the Philippines. I'd like also to say sorry to you. There are some who are not doing well, and they did not meet up to the standards that supposedly should be Bible school students. But please pray with me that if there are some who will come, truly they will be doing the best for the service of God. And I saw how we were not able to support pastors, but through the ministry in FEBC and also in other churches here, conventions, Bible conferences are made, and there were not only tens of pastors who came to know more of God's word or to be trained and to be equipped, hundreds of them. Because in our Bible conferences we have 70, more than 70 in each year, and we have done 6 conferences, and these are things which God has allowed. I should not be proud of myself here to say that this was because of me. It was all because of God. But I just want to let you see how God is working when we submit to Him, when we surrender to Him, when we follow Him, when we obey Him. And that was how God showed. You think you can do more because you have your money? You think you can do more because you are supporting this? I'll tell you, there are greater things that will be done when I will be working in your midst, when I will do this work for you. And that is what you can see in the work that we have as Christians. We have greater things to do, to accomplish as believers. The best thing that we have to know is truly we humble ourselves to come before the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, acknowledge that He is our Savior and our Lord, and follow Him. The moment we submit to His will, He will do greater things in our lives. Not that we can do greater things, but He will do greater things through us. And He is the power, He is the energy, He is the strength. He is the one who plans and ordains everything. And even the fruit that will come out of the ministry that we do, it is of God. And to Him be glory and honor alone. That is what we should understand here. And I pray that we see how the Lord Jesus Christ promised that indeed there is a greater work that be accomplished by you and me when we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter gave himself to Jesus. Peter gave himself to the way of God. Tabitha also gave herself to the work of the Lord. And here she was able to do greater works for the Lord. And I pray that with this, we have this challenge this afternoon. And we have again to ask ourselves, are we doing these greater works? Or is He doing greater works through us? In our church, in our family, in our own personal lives, do we have Christ doing this work for all of us? I pray we have to seek God's help, that we may know what He wants us to do. And by it, we can give Him all the praise and glory that He deserves. Let us pray.